Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
Well, we've seen what the ongoing COVID-19 coronavirus outbreak has done to equities over the last couple of weeks, introducing a lot of volatility and uncertainty, and also sending the SGX to close in the red over the course of this week. But it's also impacted a lot of currencies in the region, and none more so than the Singapore dollar, which actually weakened to about 1.40 against the greenback. Arguably their weakest levels in about 3 years, on concerns that the COVID-19 outbreak might plunge the Singapore economy into a recession. Well, what will these developments actually mean for the local currency and also other currencies that are finding themselves more and more vulnerable to this particular outbreak? And will the recent budget actually be enough to help the local economy buffer itself against some of these developments and risks? Well, today on Forex Fridays, we're joined by Mr. Philip Wee, who's a senior currency economist at DBS, to share his thoughts and share his insights on all of these matters. Mr. Wee, thank you so much for joining us after all this time, and good afternoon to you out there. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you too.
All right, Philip, let's talk first about the budget, of course, and we have to focus on it because a lot has been made over it over this week. They've delivered a number of strong measures to support the economy and various sectors getting pummeled by the COVID-19 outbreak, about 6.4 billion Singapore dollars to help them out. Now, the focus will shift now to the MAS, or the Monetary Authority of Singapore, in April. Do you think that the fiscal measures might be matched by similar actions by the MAS? And if so, what kind of actions might be available to the monetary authorities here in Singapore?
Well, we think that the appreciation stance could end in April. And, the Singapore dollar policy probably shift to a neutral or zero appreciation stance. The thing is that the COVID-19 has done what the trade war could not. Okay, that is that it pushed our Singapore into the lower half of the band. During the trade war, it stayed in the strong half because Singapore averted a recession. But COVID-19 has delayed, the recovery hopes from the mini trade deal that was signed last month. What's worse is that it broadened the weakness into domestic demand. That's why the government sees the possibility of a recession and delivered, a strong budget aimed at stabilization and supporting the people and the businesses. So, but I think the key thing is if COVID-19 is not contained in first quarter and extends into the second, then we also have to think about, whether the policy band could be resented lower.
Okay. Philip, also, shifting our focus back to the budget here, it seems that this was necessary, but it's going to cost the economy quite a bit. In fact, they're saying it could be the biggest budget deficit for Singapore since 1997. How much of this will contribute to potential weakness for the local currency? Or do you think that the local currency or the Sing dollar really has very little to fear from this budget deficit, which seems to be at one of its heftiest levels in over two decades?
Well, firstly, I think we need to realize that the Sing has already fallen a lot, almost 4% since the start of the year. For now, I see a technical resistance around the 141 level. But that said, the base case scenario has not changed. COVID-19 is still considered worse than SARS. So, and the other important thing is also that the dollar Sing has traded above its trade war range of between 134 and 139. I think for us, for the rest of the year, we probably think that it will hover in the 140-145 range, the levels that were seen in 2015 and 16.
All right. Well, so let's meet with Mr. Philip Wee, senior currency economist at DBS here on Forex Fridays. Philip, when we talk about the Singapore dollar, we have to also acknowledge how sensitive it is actually to the Chinese yuan. And the PBOC has employed a number of stimulus measures and also set the reference rate for the renminbi above 7 to the dollar last Wednesday. What's your read on the Chinese yuan if the COVID-19 outbreak persists? We've talked about what it might mean if it's prolonged and its impact on the Singapore dollar. But how might this impact the local currency, the currency of the world's second largest economy?
Well, I think I'd like to look at dollar China in terms of the tariff war. After the second round last year, it's moved into a higher 6.85-7.18 range. So this range has been intact despite the signing of the phase one trade deal because most of the tariffs are still in place. So, but I think the key thing right now is that we have to ask ourselves this question: whether China is going to become like Australia, you know, where domestic, you know, concerns are going to overtake, you know, larger external concerns. So therefore, you know, we will have to prioritize. So I think, again, coming back to the COVID-19, if it's contained in first quarter, we expect this second tariff war range to be intact. So that means that we don't expect dollar China to cross the 718. But if it's worse than expected, let's say it extends, then I think a lot of stress tests is leaning towards a rise above 720 to 730.
Oh, so a bit of a staggered bad or worst case scenario teams for the Chinese yuan. And I'm glad you brought up the Australian dollar there, Philip, because I want to focus on some of these other currencies that might feel very sensitive to the COVID-19 outbreak. Now, we've seen the Australian dollar and also its neighbor, the New Zealand dollar, put on a bit of a brave face over the last week, despite both governments acknowledging that they could see economic downturns from the COVID-19 outbreak also. Can this last, though? Can the Australian dollar and the New Zealand dollar hold its ground? We're seeing, for instance, the Aussie today starting to crack a little bit, and it's weakened quite a bit to the greenback. Do you think that both of them might be fighting a bit of a losing battle and that weakness is inevitable for these two neighboring currencies in the Oceanian region?
Well, if you look at what's happened this month, the COVID-19 has forced, you know, the Australian dollar to give back all of its phase one trade deal rally. The Kiwi is actually not far behind. In fact, I would say that the Aussie has given even way more, fallen, you know, more than its appreciation. So the technical suggests at this moment that it may settle around the 0.64 to 0.66 range by mid-year. That'll be close to what we've seen at the global financial crisis. The target range for Kiwi is probably around 61 to 64. Australia and New Zealand are very dependent on the well-being of China and Asia. These are their largest export markets. So there's no running away, you know, from the impact of COVID on the region.
It's inevitable, it seems, for both currencies. Okay, Philip, I want to shift our focus now to safe havens, which have really benefited also from this risk-off sentiment we've seen. We've seen gold prices go up. We've seen the likes of the Swiss franc, for one, gain, including the Japanese yen. But in the last couple of days, we've actually seen the Japanese yen start to weaken also. And some currency strategists have suggested that the safe haven luster of the Japanese yen could be weakening because of the COVID-19 outbreak. How different is this COVID-19 outbreak when you assess it as a risk-off trigger? And why do you think it's challenging the Japanese yen's reputation as a safe haven of choice for some of these investors?
Okay, first and foremost, the yen has already transitioned into a weaker 110-115 range. Mm-hmm. That's the weaker half of the range that we've seen during the trade war. And Japan is set to report its first technical recession this year. So GDP has contracted, you know, it normally does so after the sales tax hike. Of course, we had the typhoon as well. Then the growth is supposed to rebound in the subsequent quarter, but this has been hijacked by COVID-19. So, and also there's a worry that growth will stall after the Tokyo Olympics, assuming that it carries on, you know, in July and August. So at this moment, another fiscal stimulus is, I think, difficult, given that they've already delivered a 13 trillion yen spending package last December. Mm-hmm. Then everyone's saying that maybe BOJ needs to step up. But then Standard & Poor's is also warning that, you know, if you push rates deeper into negative, this could hurt, you know, the profits of the big banks and also increase the vulnerability of the regional banks. So I think if you put everything together, the safe haven credentials of the yen, you know, has definitely come into question with Abenomics.
All right. And just very quickly, Philip, if the safe haven status of the yen is being questioned, where else can investors run to for cover in the forex space? Based what are your thoughts there?
I think earlier in the year, we've noticed that the gold is actually a much better safe haven. Mm-hmm. I think the reason for that is that monetary policy, you know, is running out of room. I mean, Europe is in negative rates, Japan's in negative rates. So, and, you know, growth is all close to the GFC lows. So there's this, you know, belief that if recession comes and if, you know, monetary policy needs to go excessive again, then, you know, then this question of fiat money and, you know, gold, you know, the running back into safety in the gold. So I think for the Swiss and the yen, the key thing is really the growth picture. So most of the time, you know, as long as the, you know, we don't enter into this global recession scenario, then their safe haven credentials will play up better.
All right. So bet on gold again if things turn for the worse and risk starts to rise again. Philip Wee Sr., currency economist at DPS, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on Forex Fridays. Have a great weekend ahead, sir.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.